to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison, coming to you guys from the Bahamas at the 4th Annual Reebok Summit. Tonight, in the couch, very luxurious suite here with Annie Thor's daughter and Frederick Agidius. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so let's do a little statistical rundown. Annie, your first games were in 2009. How many CrossFit games have you been to?
I have been to 9, 10, 11, 12, injured 13, 14, 15, 16, 7.
Seven CrossFit games.
Yes.
Frederick?
For me, I competed at the CrossFit games in 2012 and 2013.
12 and 13.
Twice. Yep.
So between the two of you guys, you got 9 games finalists under your belt, and you are a couple for the last... 4 or 5 years?
6 years.
Six years. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So
crazy.
Talk a little bit about that. You guys are incredibly high level athletes, training year round as most CrossFit Games level athletes do, but you're also living together, eating together, you know, seeing each other every day.
Pretty much 24/7.
Pretty much 24/7. I mean,
yeah.
What is that like?
You want to go or should I go?
You take it.
All right. I think we're really lucky to have this, what's it called, hobby? No, like the same interest,
right.
Which is fitness. And I think I feel really fortunate to have someone that I can talk to about it that understands how important it is to me, how important training is to me. And he understands if I get emotional or if I'm not happy with something and gets excited for me when I am happy about something or get a new PR or whatever. And I feel like that's a huge part of why I love training so much, is that I have him with me through it all. I have an amazing training partner and support there. And of course it can get like hard every once in a while, because I might get emotional or like having a bad day, but he might have a great day. And then it's like, well, we're doing the same stuff, so why aren't we like getting feeling the same way? Why am I so sore and you're not sore when we do the same training all the time? But most of the times I think it's really good and we work really well together. He's been kind of my hands-on coach a little bit as well, which it seems to be really hard for a lot of couples, but it works pretty well for us. And I'm still excited to go to dinner with him and hang out at home. And no, it's not
right,
like...
that's good to know. Right?
No, we can kind of leave the gym at the gym, and then we go home and we are just a normal couple.
If I keep her fed, that is.
Yeah. If he makes sure that I get enough food, then I'm in a good mood and happy. But
right. Frederick, that's what I was going to ask, is like, how do you, since you guys are around it all the time and in, it's such an all-encompassing lifestyle, how do you kind of like break away from fitness and training and just like have each other without that? Is that even possible?
It's very, very difficult, but I think we've found a really good balance. As soon as we come back to our apartment in Iceland and sit in front of the big TV, that's our way to just de-stress, kind of get away from all the stress it is to train 5-6 hours a day and all the noise of the gym. And I think we've found a way to complement each other really well in that way too. Like, we're very similar people, which has benefited us a lot. So normally couples,
what do you mean similar people?
We have a lot of the same interests, and like we have like our temperament are very similar, which helps us a lot to get along. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why it's been working so well for us to spend literally every waking moment together for the last 6 years.
It sounds like you're not happy about it.
But like, looking, I am over the moon happy about it. But for us to be able to spend that much time together and not tear each other's heads off, I think it takes a very special type of person to actually get through that. And I think we've been extremely fortunate to find each other, because I don't think it's common for two people to be able to get through that much time spent together.
I agree with that, like spending that much time together and all of that. But I think the key is that I say every time if I have an issue with something, or if I feel like I'm getting into a bad mood or whatever, or if we don't agree on something, then we just decide we don't agree on it. We don't always, we never really argue. we might have a disagreement, or I might get frustrated about something that he believes about training or about politics or whatever, but we communicate a lot. We never bury the issues and then get more and more frustrated. I say it immediately, and then that's why I think it works so well, and that's why I think we don't have that many issues.
Yeah, I mean, to get through 6 years, like you said, being together, there's something, you have a very high level of compatibility, right?
Absolutely.
And I think, I mean, with relationships in general, you have, more commonly, you have people that live different lives, right? And they're compatible together, but like they're, you know, like one person goes to one job, one person goes to the other. They have this kind of external peer group, right? Mm-hmm. That gives them identity apart from their, you know, their partner. Whereas you, like you guys said, you have the same friends, you guys go to the same gym, you're with each other all the time. So it's like it's almost like your relationship is, it's like being more, it's being, validated more because it's like your guys' identity are being reinforced constantly, constantly, constantly. If there was any cracks there, they would show.
Yeah. Then I don't think it would work. And of course, I'm not saying that it's not difficult, especially because being a professional athlete, you, especially competing at the CrossFit Games, I'm not going to say that it was easy when we were both competing at the CrossFit Games at the same time, because I need someone to take care of me. He should have someone to take care of him. And then it's...
Yeah, who'd you guys give your coaches passes to those years?
We have a coach. Yami Tekkanen has been with me since 2010.
Right.
So he's... does all my programming and is both of our coaches. So he would be the one that gets the coaches
pass.
He's
running back and forth between the two of you guys.
Yes, exactly. So he would be taking care of both of us. But then I'm used to having Frederick there, like, helping me out. And I'm making it sound like I need a lot of, like, support. But it's more if I'm left by myself with my thoughts for too long, then I tend to overthink things. So I'm used to having him there to help out with those things, especially during like a competition or something like that, just to focus on one thing at a time. So it was hard when we were both competing at the same time. And he did amazing that 1 year where I was not competing. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So like we do think about it, but it does also feel really good to have that someone with you during these events. Like we're going through the CrossFit Games together, which is also, I'm going to say it has pros and cons. The pros are that then we're together in the athlete area and we're together to the athlete dinner. And we have that kind of support with each other. So it's, yeah, a lot of good things. And then of course it's difficult as well.
Yeah, I mean, being an individual athlete is inherently selfish. Like, you have to have so much focus on what you're doing, what's happening to you, how your body's feeling, and you need a lot. I mean, I know you said I don't want to sound too needy, but like it's what it is. That's the truth. It's the truth. You know, you need body works people in the back. You need space to decompress. You need someone to help you strategize. You need, you know, a voice of reason, right? A calming influence.
Yeah.
Those are all things that are. And it's tough if you're each other's answer to all those questions.
Exactly.
It's difficult to be there at the same time. So you said, I mean, Frederick, you did it 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. Are you still trying to get to the CrossFit Games? Annie, are you still planning on going to the CrossFit Games?
Yeah, I'm going to make it back one more time, and then maybe we'll do a team the year after that, after Annie gets the title back and I break the top 10.
Okay.
Come back and have some fun.
All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely going for another year. I always take it just 1 year at a time because it's hard. You never know what can happen. And especially like with having had that back injury happen to me, then as an athlete, I think you can't plan more than 1 year ahead. It's that one season and I'm really focused for this season. And I honestly don't think that my body has been this injury free for a really long time. So I'm excited and I definitely want to get my title again. I don't want Katrin to get three titles before I get them. So
I know she's on quite a roll.
Yeah.
She's on quite a roll. What do you think? just if you do some self-evaluation for you, Annie, what do you think it's going to take improvement in? What areas are being exposed at the games that you need to improve on?
Well,
is there anything specific?
Oh yeah, for sure. I always analyze everything, probably too much, but definitely after 2015, it was that heat stroke that I got. So then I was like focused on,
that was so brutal, man.
That was probably my most miserable year at the CrossFit Games ever. And my focus there was just like, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be there before the games next year, like really early, get used to the heat, just train in the heat and make sure that's not going to be an issue. I did that for 2016, but I don't think I've worked on my mental side yet, because as soon as we had Murph again, I freaked out. And then when I saw the video right before the event, I hadn't even seen the video. I tried to block pictures where I was like tagged in Murph and so on, just because it brought back so many bad memories and I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to work through it. And then seeing that video right before we went out for the event, I felt horrible throughout the whole event. And I was constantly thinking, oh my God, I'm too warm. I'm too warm. I definitely wasn't too warm. It was in the morning and I felt fine. But it was that just thought in my head that made that workout really hard mentally. And I think I was just fighting ever since, like after that event, I was constantly thinking about it. How did it affect me? How did it affect me? And so on.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like post-traumatic stress.
A little bit.
Try to get over that.
And I did not work through it properly. Right. So this year, I've been working through it. And I'm definitely going to do the same thing, get used to the heat and all of that. And then we've been seeing at the games the last 2 years, it really matters to be a good runner. So I'm working on my running a lot. I'm very well built for it, so I should be a good runner. So I'm going to get there.
I feel like I remember you being a good runner.
I used to be a good runner.
Yeah.
And then I stopped running.
And there's a lot of CrossFit. Not a lot of running.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so that's definitely...
Just go run Essia once a month, right?
Exactly. I should. Well, you can really do it during the winter, though. It's too dangerous, too icy.
Okay.
But yes, I'm going to run Ashen a lot. I've been doing a lot more running. We have the True Forms now at the gym. So during the winter, there's no excuse. I'm going to keep on running.
Nice.
And then it's my leg strength. I know that my leg strength needs to go up. I still power clean more than I squat clean. So I'm going to keep on working on that. And then I think I'm pretty good.
All right, Frederick, same question to you, man. What's it going to take to get back there this year?
I feel all around that I was in the best shape of my life in 2016. Had a series of really fortunate events that cost me the spot at the games. So there's not been any particular areas that have gotten extra focus over the last 6 months. It's just like a general engine work. I just need to be better at breathing, increasing that capacity across like a wide range of different tasks. Skill level is where it needs to be. But as Annie also said, the tests we've seen over the last 2 years, both at regionals and at the games, have been very run heavy. And if you got a good engine, you're able to have a high output, being able to perform at 80 to 85%, even with an elevated heart rate, you're going to be a threat at the regional level and at the games level. So that's been the main focus for me.
Yeah, definitely running a lot at the games. Regionals, they brought in at least one running event mm-hmm. for each of the last 2 years, but it was paired with other things
that's true.
Seemed to impact the event as much as the run, if not
more. There
was
actually last year at regionals, there was less of the longer workouts. Like everything was short and explosive.
Right.
I'm more of a diesel engine. Like I need like 15 minutes to get probably warmed up before everything is moving well.
Right.
So that definitely hurt me that they didn't have any of the long events in there, and hopefully they will find space for that this year.
Yeah.
But that's definitely been a focus, trying to just increase the power output on the shorter workouts, because that's something especially on the male side, that a lot of guys are really, really good at.
Yeah.
And that's been a focus, because that's like the classic CrossFit workouts. They're short, they're explosive. So a lot of people practice that, and I've gotten really, really good at it.
Those are the ones I love.
Yeah, I mean, last year they had the two events back-to-back, which kind of turned into a diesel-style feel by the end, right?
Somewhat, yeah. But like, they definitely got brutal towards the end. We had, like, a really hard time with the standards in Europe across the board. So I think people were suffering more in our region than most others.
Extra pistols
and very, very deep wall balls. And that's just – it's something that over the course of 150 reps on the wall balls, it's definitely going to – it's going to sit in the legs for the pistols. And you could tell across the board that people were suffering. It was a great test and definitely something that put people outside of their comfort zone.
Let's talk a little bit about that region, right? The European regional has, especially on the women's side, just
It's unreal.
To the top of the game, and it's like it's not even close. Katrin's won the last two titles. You won two titles in a row. Camille won a title in between.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's 5 years in a row for the women, correct?
Sam.
I mean, Sam. Yeah. Yes, that's what I meant. Sam.
Yeah.
And Camille, the year that she won, I almost think of her as European, even though she's Canadian. You know?
Well, I got second place that year, so.
Right. You're right there at the top. And, like, you know, it's just, it's crazy. And Iceland specifically is just so dominant. And
amazing on the female side.
I think a lot of people are curious. I mean, we always talk about it. Maybe it's just the way you guys are built, you know, like there's some sort of Viking blood that is just so strong. And, you know,
I'm sure the genetics are good, but if you look at the competitors out of Iceland, you got like Annie and Katrin, Sarah, 30, like they're all like, they all have a very different built. Like Sarah
and each other.
Sarah and Annie are probably the most similar of the two. But if you look at Katrin, like her build is significantly different. 30 is a smaller, very powerful athlete, but smaller athlete. So it's not necessarily like a specific build that just like powers through. I think it's more their like upbringing. They have
it's like a mentality.
They have a really strong mentality, and they have a drive that I haven't seen anywhere else. Outside of Iceland, to be honest.
Even just at the gym, I feel like when I'm coaching the classes, I feel like people are so competitive, like in the normal classes.
It can be a pain in the butt, but it also drives athletes to be athletes.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's good to have that competitive drive and wanting to do better. And I think also on the female side, seeing me win the CrossFit Games 2011, then it was like, she's one of us. Like, if she can win the CrossFit Games, why can't I? And I think that attitude has gotten into all of them, which is freaking annoying. No. No. It's amazing. I think...
You're right. Sarah said that specifically when we had her on the show last year before the Games. And she said that. She's like, when I saw Annie's picture up and I saw her that she won, she's like, that could be me. And it was a huge influence.
Like, I think just breaking that barrier that you don't have to be one out of a billion. You just need to be one out of the 300,000 people in Iceland, and you can win the CrossFit Games. And I think that definitely, at least that would affect me in a very positive driving force kind of way. And yeah, I would say like their mentality is really good. There's no quitting. There's no giving up. Like, they fight their way through the workouts. And I think that takes you so far in CrossFit.
I feel like you guys all run pretty hot too. Like your internal temperature, not like heat from the outside air, but like you guys are very emotional. It's like very easy to see what you're feeling. Like you're known for smiling and being very happy at the end of workouts. I mean, I've seen Katrin break down and cry like mid-workout, I don't know how many times. Sarah, kind of the same thing where she's just like in a rage or like, you know, it's like you guys are, it's like it's so consuming, you know, and that's not the case with a lot of the other athletes. Like you look at the women from Australia, it's just like as calm and cool as can be, right? Like they're very, very competitive, of course, but.
Oh, for sure.
But it's not the same sort of like visible.
That's like true. Reaction. I haven't even thought about it. But yeah, that's very true.
It's kind of true, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it just means more to you or if it's just maybe it's cultural. It's like that's permitted. Like in the gyms, everybody is.
People are not trying to hide who they are. I think that's a major, major part of it. Like from a very young age, the females are encouraged to go out and show who they are. Like everybody does sports. everybody's encouraged to like go out like and move heavy stuff all around, like spend a lot of time outdoors. So I think it just toughens up a lot of the people there, and I think that's what really shows.
That's atypical for most European countries. When I was in Copenhagen, you know, seeing you, Frederick, and Sarah, you guys told me about, was it Jung's Law,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe you can explain that, but it's what I remember, it's basically to not show how good you are at anything or how much you have, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, it's basically just frowned upon, like, showcasing what you're capable of. Like, you should always try to undersell yourself. Like, never put yourself in bigger shoes than you have. And that is something that I have never felt a single grain of in Iceland. Like, the Icelandic culture is in some ways much more laid back than what you see in most other countries. But they still have that competitive drive that you don't see in a lot of other places. And I think the combination of having that like casual relationship to fitness and then being able to just bring it once it actually matters is something that is really unique about the Icelandic population. And you see that not only in the top level athletes, you see it in the average Joe that walks into the gym, like a guy that might have been working out for like 3-4 years. Like he's got like a sub 8 minute Fran. But he's still so freaking proud of it, and he will let you know.
I think that's very true. I don't know about that mm-hmm. in Denmark, that you're not showing what you're the best at. I think people are constantly telling me their numbers and all, like, heads held up high, like, so proud. And if there's something that they're really good at, they're going to show you, like, for sure.
I think social media is a different monster. So like if you go face to face with a Danish person, they would never act that way. They're trying to act bigger on social media because there is like a certain distance. So the Jantelov doesn't really affect the virtual environment. But once you face to face, it's a completely different story.
Right, because I guess the social media thing, that wasn't addressed by parents.
No, exactly.
These guys were young. It didn't even exist.
No.
Maybe you guys can talk a little bit about, since we're talking about social media, about fans, you know, and like the way CrossFit has grown. It's given you guys platforms, obviously, to interact with people that follow you and maybe turn it into business and things like that. You mean, Annie, like when you were in 2009, like, you had a certain level of fame from being, you know, girl from Iceland, couldn't do a muscle-up, got her first muscle-up, right? It was, like, super exciting. Talk about, like, the growth from then to now with the fans, how you interact with them, and kind of what that's done for you.
Wow, that's so much. I think...
It's so much, right? It's so much different.
It's so different. I think... I still, one of my best memories from the CrossFit Games is going to be from 2009 when I got my first muscle ups and the interaction I had with the fans at the ranch 2009. Like, I felt so close to the people that were watching because I felt like they really wanted me to be able to do this. And they were so close to me, I was able to walk over and like talk, and it felt so different than any other environment. Like, I've been a competitive athlete for really my whole life. But that was something new. And I honestly think in that moment was that I fell in love with CrossFit. Like, not just the sport, but what it meant for people and what it started to mean for me. And that was when I made the decision that I'm going to do this CrossFit thing, because at that point, I didn't really know what it was. We had about 2 months to prepare for the CrossFit Games 2009, and I got to know most of the movements, but still, I didn't really know what it was about until at that point. Then it was awesome to go through a change of going to the Home Depot and being in Carson, going to that big venue. It was intimidating, but amazing at the same time, and seeing how it grew that year, and then 2011, having Reebok a part of it, you could see even more people were showing up, showing interest in it. I was starting to have more people contact me through Facebook, talking to them. I made sure I replied to every single message that I got, and it was, I don't know, I didn't really look at it as fans. I looked at it more as friends when people were contacting me, because the messages that I get are really personal, most of them. And they started meaning a lot to me, what people were writing.
They're all positive messages.
So, yeah, then I'm just talking about the positive messages. At that point, I didn't really get a lot of the negative messages. I think I only got positive messages at that point. And it was from young girls, older women, and from men even that were just like talking about fitness in general, wanted to know what it was that I was doing to get better. And then women that had started doing CrossFit because they had seen me do CrossFit and how it has changed their lives. And that motivated me so much in doing what I was doing. So they were talking about how I was a motivation for them. I'm going to say they gave me so much at the same time in being a drive force for me, wanting to keep on doing what I was doing, because it was really hard for me after I won the CrossFit Games 2011. It was like, well, I already reached my goal. Like, what should the next goal be? Because anything other than first place is not going to be a disappointment. So it was hard to stay motivated and driven for the Games 2012. But the interaction with people made it worth even more. And that gave me a certain kind of drive for the Games 2012. Then going through what I went through 2013, having the back injury, I got a completely different perspective for the people that were reaching out and for myself, because I had such a hard time finding information about people that had gone through a similar back injury as me and haven't been made it back as an athlete. So I honestly thought that my career as an athlete was over.
Really? You thought you were
done?
Yeah.
I thought that I was done. I didn't think that I was ever going to recover from that. I didn't lift weights from the floor for about half a year. No, for almost a year, I didn't lift weights from the floor. I was numb on one side, like down my leg for half a year. And I was like, this is never going away. Like, I'm never going to trust my body again. But then what motivated me was that I wanted to make it back so that I could be an example for people that would have similar back injuries, because all of a sudden I got so many people reaching out that had similar issues, that were going through the same things, and that didn't know what they were supposed to do or if they were ever going to make it back. I was like, fuck this. I don't know if I should say that. Sorry. I was like, I'm going to make it back and I'm going to show people that you can do it. And at certain points, I didn't believe it. Thankfully, I have amazing support around me. I don't know how many times I said that I'm done and never doing this again. But yeah, good support, good physios that I worked with, and a lot of hard work. And I think that 2014, emotionally, the CrossFit Games probably meant close to as much to me as winning the CrossFit Games. Just making it back there, starting to trust my body, going through it, and being able to show people that you could get back from it, I've meant so much to me. And yeah, I think...
Yeah, to me, that was an incredible accomplishment, especially just mentally going from the place where like, this is it, I'm done.
Like, yeah. You know,
actually, no, I'm going to keep working, keep going. That's the message that everybody wants to send, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was what I wanted to show people. And I think, yeah, people, my fans or my friends or the people that reach out to me, they gave me the push. They gave me the drive. And that, I don't know, I feel like that's what the community is about. It's not just about CrossFit as a sport or CrossFit Games or regionals or the Open. It's about the influence and effect that we can have on other people and that people have on me, which is why I still appreciate all the messages I get. I might not get through all of them, but I try to, and I try to make sure that the ones that are really personal or that are about issues that people have had with their diet, their self-image, their backs or injuries, I try to make sure that I get back to all of those people because I feel like
they
were there
like
for me
yeah.
at that time. So I want to try to give back at the same time. So I feel it sounds corny and weird, but I feel really close to the people that are writing me messages. Then I'm not talking about all the weirdos and creeps that write. Well, those I block and delete.
Right. So, okay, let's talk about that a little bit because, Frederick, I mean, you know, she gets a ton of attention, right, on social media, and not all of it's positive. Some of it's rude, and like, how do you deal with that as a boyfriend?
Well, I got to give myself at least like 10 minutes where I consider whether I should reply to a comment or not, because if I do it in the moment, it probably comes off a little too harsh.
Right. It almost like encourages people to do it more to see if they can get a rise.
That's why you should never reply
to those comments. You should never engage in that kind of conversation because you know they have way too much spare time on their hands, so you're never going to win that argument. So we had like an issue with Facebook. Their privacy settings changed about a year ago, so we had like a lot of interesting new pictures showing up for a while.
Oh, really?
It was insane. It was to a point where I was like, is there something wrong with Facebook? I'm not opening my messages anymore. Frederick, you will just go through, delete all of the people that are sending pictures. But that was ridiculous.
We had a period of like a couple of months with like 3-4 of these X-rated pictures a day.
A day?
A day. I don't know.
That's a lot of junk mail.
Yeah. Literally.
Mm-hmm. It's gotten a lot better. Yeah. I think Facebook must have changed something in their settings or something. Or I reported it often enough, so then it's not happening as much anymore.
So we had a slow time like replying to all the messages because like we're so simply too scared to look through the feed. There was a lot of iffy stuff going on, but that seems to have quieted down a little bit now, which is nice.
And that's good. We've gotten to a point where like the negative comments or those comments are just starting to be funny. Like it's something you can laugh at. You still see it. Like, for example, if you post a picture or a video of yourself doing butterfly pull-ups, you still get this, like so many people, those are not pull-ups.
Right.
It's always going to be zero pull-ups.
We're done that day.
Zero pull-ups. We're done.
Yeah, like, all right, and good for you, buddy.
Then you get the people arguing about it on the feed, and it's so hilarious. But then I started thinking, why are these people following me? Why are the people following me that believe that butterfly pull-ups are not pull-ups? Why?
Remember that guy that posted on your site? It's like, would you please stop posting all these videos of you working out? It's like, it's not that fun to watch. I'm like, dude, you're on this lady's fan page. Maybe go somewhere else and troll.
Why are you following me? I don't want those people as my fans. If they don't want me to post workout things.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, man. Well, I mean, I guess it's like, so part of it is you just got to know the landscape, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. And there's always going to be the negative people, but it's the positive things to make up for it.
That's so far outweighs it.
Yeah, I'm not posting it for the people that are writing the negative comments. Like, those, you learn to ignore those things. And thankfully, there's so much less of that than any of the positive
ones. Yeah, that's nice to see that trending down. I mean, obviously, it's never going to go away, but because, you know, it's just not going to go away. Mm-hmm. People are going to still be jerks. Do you guys use any of that? Kind of that reach, that platform to do anything like any sort of programming or like any sort of like diet planning? I know a lot of athletes have kind of gotten into that.
At this point, we're not doing that. We're not trying to sell ourselves as experts. There are people out there that know more about these specialty areas than we do. Like we have full trust in our coach, and we would not go behind him and try to prove to like everybody that we can do a better job than what he's doing right now. We definitely share a lot of the stuff that we do, a lot of the workouts, and that creates a lot of engagement. People love to see the pieces that we do show up there and every now and then with a video of us doing it. But we're not like trying to gain any money through the platforms at this point. We're trying to inspire as much as we can. And as Annie said, it might sound corny that we're trying to change lives, but some of the interaction that occurs on Annie's fan page is something that gets us really emotional. Like some of the stories that we hear on there, it's not something that we just have like a standard reply and we just copy paste it. There's some really deep stuff. Like you can tell that people have actually felt like an emotional connection with something that Annie has done in her past, like some of the accomplishments that she's made that had made a significant difference in their life. And I really feel that deserves a proper reply. Like I feel that at this point in time, there's a lot of people that use their platforms just to just to spread out as wide as they can, just quantity over quality. And I feel that's wrong in like in the spirit of CrossFit. Like the community is at the heart of all of this. And to treat people the way you want to be treated is such an important factor in this. And for people to sit down and write like a long essay to you, like it's describing how like something that you've done have changed them or changed the way they handle a situation in their life, like become a better person, is incredible. Like it's so much bigger than going out and winning the CrossFit Games. Like, yeah, like the prize purse is great, but if you can affect that many people, that's something that you can, like, you can win $275,000 going to a casino and affect no one. But, like, gaining this platform.
I definitely don't mind winning the CrossFit Games, though, and that's still what I'm going to do.
No, no, no. Not taking anything away from that.
More people.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but we try to make sure to just keep it clean. I don't sell out my platform for commercials. Obviously, I have my sponsors, but I'm really picky on my sponsors. I pick sponsors that I honestly like the products. I honestly like the supplements. And I am using all the Reebok. I like the gear. This is what I want to be using. And that's why I'm not afraid to be promoting it. So I try to have my social media as clean as possible. I'm not making up workouts when I'm posting workouts. I'm posting things that I'm doing in my actual training. I try to give out tips. But then it's exactly the things that I was thinking about during that workout or what I was thinking about or focusing on during that lift or things that I've gotten to try to fix my things that might help others. So we're just, yeah, I try to keep it as clean and light as possible. That's how I want to have it. That's my image.
I love it. I love it. It's nice. It's like a, it's different, which I think is good, you know? it's also keeping the focus like on the training as well,
yes.
You know, which can get difficult, you know. And there's a lot of people, myself included, who own gyms, and that takes a lot of your time, a lot of your energy. You guys alluded earlier to the fact that, you know, both have goals. Like, Annie, you want to get back and win. Frederick wants to get back, make it into the top 10 at least. And then once that's happened, you guys said, hey, we'll have a great team. Is that something that you're, like, that transition point from being solely an athlete to something else? Is that something you're looking forward to happening eventually? Or is it something like, you know, when it comes, I'll just kind of like begrudgingly.
Like I have a background in team sports and I honestly really miss that aspect. Like I've done grit the last 3 years, been a coach of the New York Rhinos. And I love the community. Like having a big group of people around you that are, that like everybody's responsible for taking, like doing their part as part of the team. And I think that's something that personally, I really look forward to doing that. Like it also means that you can step your training down just a little. At this point in time, the team competition is not quite as competitive as the individual side, and you can complement each other better. Like you don't necessarily need to be the best at every single aspect of fitness. And that's something that I'm looking forward to.
And that then gives being, you more
being
time
on a team with this
things.
One.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you time for other things. At this point, I still love training. And I think maybe not spending as many hours on it outside of the gym, like on recovery and making sure that I'm thinking about eating enough and doing everything the right way, mashing and stretching in every single night. I would still... When I go on a team, I'm still going to be training probably a similar amount of time unless I'm in school or start maybe focusing more on coaching. I do want to start having more seminars and lectures, not just about like coaching, but kind of like that mental attitude and how you can change your life a little bit with just the way that you're thinking. That's something that I've gotten really into, and that's something that I would like to start doing more. I honestly just don't have the time at the moment because I don't want to travel more than I'm traveling already. So my main focus is the CrossFit Games. Winning as an individual, then once I might go on a team, which I think would be really fun because I've never been in a team sport, and I think sharing the experience is probably going to be awesome. My focus is definitely going to be winning the CrossFit Games on a team. I'm coming for you, Rich Froning. But then I would like to travel a little bit more, do a few more seminars and all of that. And yeah, sure.
And then
we see what happens.
More people, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I feel like you can do more.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us. I know we all got to get out to dinner. Thank you guys so much for sitting down with me and like sharing all this stuff with all of our listeners. If they want to follow you more and like write you tearful essays, you know, or, you know, say anything and see what you guys are up to in Iceland, what are both of you guys' social media handles so they can follow you?
My Instagram handle is Frederick Egidius. The easiest way to do that is probably go through Annie's account because nobody can spell Egidius.
Start with an A-E.
It starts with an A-E and then you probably guess the rest of it, yeah.
Mine is Annie Thorsdottir on, I think, all the platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snap.
Right.
Yeah. So
we just learned today how important it is to do live streaming stuff. So I'm sure we're just going to see live streams of your guys' workouts.
Just all the time.
All the time. Then,
all the time, 24/7. Make sure you guys go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast. Give this episode a 5-star rating because it was amazing.
And they got very emotional.
That's right. Very emotional. Emotional Icelandic girl. And follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And stay tuned for more great stuff. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.